The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Gentlemen, please welcome Chief Justice Roberts to administer the presidential oath of office.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability,
and will to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then and believe even more so now that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. For American citizens, January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day. First, I will declare a national emergency at our southern border. All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. We will reinstate my Remain in Mexico policy. I will end the practice of catch and release, and I will send troops to the southern border to repel the disastrous invasion of our country. Today, we will also be designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. That's why today I will also declare a national energy emergency. We will drill, baby, drill. We are establishing the External Revenue Service to collect all tariffs, duties, and revenues. I will also sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech to America. It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female. I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay. We are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs. And above all, China is operating the Panama Canal, and we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back. Today, I will sign a series of historic executive orders. With these actions, we will begin the complete restoration of America and the revolution of common sense. It's all about common sense.
President Trump getting to work quickly. In fact, you saw it right here as he was signing executive orders. He is expected to sign the most executive orders on day one ever.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Full pardon or commutation?
Full pardon.
78 of Biden's executive actions gone with the stroke of a Sharpie. And in 24 hours, 200 executive actions. He also gave 4 speeches, attended a half a dozen balls and dinners, and held 2 media Q&As. The new White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, didn't even have a chance to walk out to the podium because the president missed being out there so much.
You may have seen this portrait of General Mark Milley. It was unveiled just a few weeks ago in the Pentagon, and notably there is a... what we're showing you is where that portrait has been taken down from the Pentagon.
He is giving the people what they want.
So the Pentagon now deployed 1,500 troops to help secure the U.S.-Mexico border.
And ICE moving at warp speed, arresting hundreds of illegal immigrants accused of serious crime.
The border is relatively quiet. I'm told that there are just between 1,100 to 1,300 crossings a day. That is far below when it was 6,000, 8,000, 12,000 before.
From L.A. to Georgia to Chicago, border czar Tom Homan and his crew are busting up migrant gang hotspots.
Is the president happy with this progress?
No, I think the president's happy, but we're going to make him a lot happier. Yesterday was just day one, and these raids are going to go out throughout the country. We're not going to let up. We put our foot on the gas, and we're going to go.
More than 250 suspected illegal gang members arrived in El Salvador's mega prison last night after the Trump administration invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. To quickly deport them out of America.
The immediate aftermath of the Trump election and Trump taking office, it's gone from 11 million people across the border illegally to just a trickle, as in just a handful of people.
Southwest border encounters have fallen to about 282 a day, a drop of 93% from last year and the lowest since the early 1960s.
The New York Times says it's the return of the king.
Welcome to the imperial presidency of Donald Trump.
President Trump is launching an all-out trade war against China, Mexico, and Canada, slapping our top 3 partners with tariffs.
Am I going to impose tariffs on the European Union? Absolutely.
China will pay and other countries will pay.
Business
We've been ripped off by every country in the world, friend and foe. And on April 2nd, I call it the liberation of America. We've been the fat, dumb, foolish country that allowed everybody to rip us off, including our friends. Look at NATO. Until I got involved in NATO, we were paying for the whole thing practically.
President Trump is making good on a campaign promise imposing tariffs that start tomorrow on our biggest trading partners.
They have short term some a little pain, and people understand that. But long term, the United States has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world.
For 40 years, a lot of our friends all over the world have used America as a piggy bank. They have used us to absorb all of their excess economic production. What does that mean for Americans? The days of America being the piggy bank of the world, the days of closed factories, the days of people not being able to get a middle-class job in this country, they're over.
America didn't start the trade war. The world did.
Is this a reconfiguring to try to get America to use American products here in America, from oil to gas to lumber that we have to our automobiles? And wouldn't that build up the middle class?
I think that is spot on, Brian.
Basically, I view it as reducing taxes and also reducing debt. And within a fairly short period of time, I think we're going to have a balance sheet that's going to be outstanding.
We expect that these tariffs will result in over $100 billion of new annual revenue to the United States of America in tariff revenue.
President Trump has a spine of steel, and he will not break. And America will not break under his leadership.
The Trump administration isn't getting pushed around by big business. We want companies to make money, but not at our expense. And the same goes for other countries. We respect our allies, but they'll be made to respect us.
Imagine asking Trump that question. So how was your weekend? I got Venezuela to release the hostages. Yeah. Panama agreed to get China out of its business. Mexico agreed to the border issues. Canada folded. Colombia caved. I got rid of USAID, kicked out 51 Intel liars, fired DOJ deep staters, and I got Canada to punch itself in the face. So how was your weekend?
Well, inflation cooling in April.
Oil is down.
Gas prices falling for the third month in a row.
Eggs are down. Food is down.
Grocery prices seeing their largest decline in nearly 5 years.
So all that hysteria over tariffs is not showing up in these numbers.
No, not at all.
That's good news. We should be celebrating.
It's a huge sigh of relief for President Trump.
Americans are breathing a sigh of relief. Every dollar is going further, and workers are able to keep more of their hard-earned paychecks.
Encouraging signs, Wolf. Inflation continuing to move in the right direction, cooling on an annual basis to 2.3%.
Thinking three steps ahead, that's the focus of tonight's angle.
Trump told you this morning it was a great time to buy. Did you listen? If you did, you're rich.
Because Trump announced a brilliant move to pause the higher tariffs on countries negotiating with us, but meanwhile, to raise China's tariffs to 125%.
The markets right now are expanded.
It was an impressive couple of weeks.
Trump created maximum leverage for himself, and now his team's sitting pretty.
It's genius.
So just be cool. It's going to work out. It's going to work out, and it's working out. I can tell you, working out. Maybe faster than I thought.
So we've got a $2 trillion deficit. And if we don't do something about this deficit, the country's going bankrupt.
We as a country are $36 trillion in debt.
The interest payments alone on the national debt exceed the Defense Department budget.
The president hired a rocket scientist to open up America's books. He's literally a rocket scientist.
Musk found more fraud in 3 weeks than the House Oversight Committee found in 30 years.
For you, what's the most astonishing thing you've found out in this process?
The sheer amount of waste and fraud in the government. It is astonishing. It's mind-blowing.
As we dug into USAID, it became apparent that what we have here is not an apple with a worm in it, but we have actually just a ball of worms.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio is hailing the end of USAID, the nation's largest foreign aid agency.
And then we have now the news coming in. President Trump stopped U.S. involvement with the U.N. Human Rights Council and defunded the U.N. Aid unit, UNRWA.
Doge froze a $40 billion deep state super PAC and put 10,000 bureaucrats on paid leave. Their plan for the deep state? Gut it all.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. Like, so let's start with the string of mass firings by Elon Musk's Doge.
I don't think anybody would have an issue with cutting some government waste, with identifying programs that are not working. But the way they are doing it is haphazard. It is dangerous. It is frankly abusive of federal workers. And it is just plain wrong.
This regime that we find ourselves living under is producing massive chaos and trauma in the lives of federal workers and in the country. Just look at this latest round of protests at Tesla dealerships, at town halls. America is resisting in large ways and small.
They're setting fire to various Tesla charging stations near Boston. Shots were fired at a Tesla dealership in Oregon, downtown New York, marching against the Tesla showroom. Your stock is way down. You've been criticized left and right.
But look on the right side.
Violent attacks against Tesla got even worse over the weekend.
Be on alert for any signs of planned attacks against Tesla vehicles and property.
I have to ask. Why? What have you done that warrants this? Because I see nothing that you have done except help our country.
It's really come as quite a shock to me that there is this level of really hatred and violence from the left.
Meanwhile, Doge may have just found their next target. Elon Musk says he's now focusing on members of Congress who became, quote, strangely wealthy while in Congress.
But now they won't have old Elon to kick around anymore. Musk says he's ready to ride off into the sunset after Doge claims it saved American taxpayers $160 billion and counting.
So it's the contribution that he made is not how much he saved the taxpayers. It's exposing how much Democrats stole.
He was a tremendous help, both in the campaign and in what he's done with Doge. He loves the country. He didn't need to do this. He did it. And I told him, I said, you know, whenever you're ready, I'd like to keep him for a long time, but whenever you're ready.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along. I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it could be both.
With all due respect, my friend Elon is terribly wrong about the one big, beautiful bill.
President Trump's big, beautiful bill hitting more snags in the Senate.
Let's live in reality for a second. We're running $2 trillion deficits. If we follow the path of the House bill, we'll have close to, I think, $60 trillion worth of debt in 10 years.
No, it doesn't follow common sense. And I'm not sure why you would ask if this adds to the debt. It's going to add to the debt. Everybody knows that. They also know we're on a precipice and we're going to fall off that precipice when the debt bomb goes off.
Tonight, the dramatic moment of Vice President Vance breaking a tie vote.
The vice president votes in the affirmative. The bill as amended is passed.
The motion is adopted.
Okay, let's move on to immigration. And as you said, it is an undeniable fact that illegal crossings at the southern border have plummeted, a staggering decline. But there are questions about your methods. And so I want to ask
about my message?
Methods. About your methods. How you're accomplishing.
Well, they seem to work. So the line is that I'm a dictator, but I stop crime.
Democrats let foreign gangs invade America, and now they're whining that Trump's deporting them too fast.
DHS reporting more than 2.5 million illegal aliens have left the United States in the second Trump administration. That includes more than 605,000 deportations and nearly 2 million self-deportations.
What did Hitler do in the Holocaust? He took people from Germany to other countries.
Yeah. We are making it as easy as possible for illegal aliens to leave America. Any illegal alien can simply show up at an airport and receive a free flight out of our country.
More than 10,000 illegals have been arrested since ICE raids began in June. They include murderers, kidnappers, and sexual predators. All this despite violent protests against ICE officers erupting across the city.
Tonight, the city of Los Angeles is under a curfew as it marks a fifth day of massive anti-ICE protests.
Overnight, chaos erupting in the streets of Los Angeles as protesters and police clashed after days of raids, riots, and demonstrations.
Kamala Harris, Mayor Karen Bass, and Governor Newsom are blaming the Trump administration for the chaos.
When you have got ICE in Los Angeles showing up reportedly at Home Depot, where many undocumented people go, when you've got ICE showing up outside of places like schools, it quite literally is striking fear into the heart of people all throughout this community. People in Los Angeles are mobilizing and they are very upset.
It could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn.
Meanwhile, across the country in Chicago tonight, anti-ICE protests breaking out following the immigration raids here in Los Angeles.
Anti-ICE protests spreading nationwide. There's another rally expected today in Lower Manhattan.
What we saw yesterday was a few rallies and we're set to see some more today.
President Trump's crime crackdown sweeping the nation. After deploying the National Guard to Washington, D.C., now the White House plans to extend its effort across 19 states.
I enjoy having extra security.
I don't have a problem with that personally.
Anybody that's watching this right now that live in D.C. don't have a problem with what Trump is doing.
Americans vastly prefer Donald Trump's approach to crime than they did to Joe Biden's.
1,369 total arrests, 12 known gang members arrested, 140 firearms seized, 50 homeless encampments cleared. That is an incredible number now.
To have this place beautified within a period of 12 months.
President Trump wants to give the Windy City the DC treatment, but Chicago's favorite son says, well, he wants the madness to continue.
Maybe crime has gone down, but you know, we had the mayor of Chicago on last week saying, oh, we don't need any more police officers. Police officers aren't the answer.
Multiple people have been shot at an ICE field office in Dallas, Texas.
The sniper had anti-ICE carved into the shell casings, but the media says no one knows the motive.
There are people out there who are seeing what is being placed online
And they're coming and they're doing acts of violence against ICE employees.
We've seen riots outside of ICE buildings in LA, Portland, and Illinois. Just yesterday, Antifa stormed an ICE facility in Oregon with homemade weapons. Do you see a pattern?
We have heard from ICE officials time and time again that it is the Democrat rhetoric, some of the hateful rhetoric towards ICE agents that drives incidents just like the one we're watching tragically play out this morning on our screens. As you've got, as I mentioned, 1,000% plus increase on assaults on agents.
Do you condemn the attacks on ICE agents?
What attacks on ICE agents?
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal. That is completely different. Being a criminal is more so about your mindset. Committing a crime can come for a lot of different reasons.
Now to one of the most shocking stories of the year. This horrific murder was caught on camera. The brutality, the depravity of it is beyond anything I can adequately describe. Her name's Irina, and she boards a train in North Carolina. She is on her phone, has AirPods in, is minding her own business, and there is no interaction with her murderer, who slowly pulls out a knife and then launches a vicious attack, leaving her bleeding to death as he walks away.
She looks confused. She looks vulnerable, heartbroken. Irina didn't die immediately. She suffered and then collapsed to the floor, unconscious in a pool of her own blood. She came to America because she thought she would die in Ukraine, but she died here.
She was coming home from work on a light rail train, like all of us do all the time, and she was brutally murdered. As Mr. Barnicle said, something here is broken, and we're here to fix it.
This past year, I've seen innocent Americans raped and murdered by people who are not supposed to be here. So rather than going back and forth saying, well, ICE has got a car parked near a church, that is ridiculous. You're out there looking for people like this, exactly what they're doing.
The Democrats are afraid to do anything because they don't want to be criticized, but fighting crime is a good thing. We have to explain. We're going to fight crime. That's a good thing. Already they're saying, he's a dictator. The place is going to, we've got to stop it. So instead of saying he's a dictator, they should say we're going to join him and make Washington safe.
Look, the Democratic brand right now has about the appeal with the American voter as the Cracker Barrel rebrand has with the American consumers. Bad, bad, bad.
The feds are helping arrest so many criminals, the jails are running out of beds.
If you are declaring war against these cartels and Congress is likely to approve of that process, why not just ask for a declaration of war?
Well, I don't think we're going to necessarily ask for a declaration of war. I think we're just going to kill people that are bringing drugs into our country. Okay? We're going to kill them. You know? They're going to be, like, dead. Okay?
We're going to war with the criminal cartels. We're going to war with illegal aliens, public safety threats, that raped children, that raped citizens, that committed armed robberies, that distribute narcotics that kill Americans.
Each boat is responsible for killing 25,000 Americans, so they're doing an amazing job.
Look, we're all being aggressive. I've said from day one we're going to concentrate on public safety threats and national security threats, but if you're in the country legally, you're not off the table, we'll arrest you too.
It's like a dystopian sci-fi movie. Unmarked cars. People en masse, people quite literally disappearing, no due process, no rights, enough. ICE, unmask, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?
Democrats have declared war. Not my words, theirs.
We're in a war right now to save this country, and so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
Think about how they're programming people. They're at war, and they have to win by any means necessary. That ICE is the president's Nazi Gestapo, and if they don't push back, democracy's dead.
I fear that we will not have an election in 2028. I really mean that in the core of my soul, unless we wake up to the code red, what's happening in this country, and we wake up soberly to how serious this moment is.
Today, organizers say at least 7 million Americans took to the streets protesting what many called an abuse of power by President Trump. House Speaker Mike Johnson called it, quote, the Hate America rally.
You, this is Instagram?
Instagram.
You grabbed this. You were walking down the beach. What happened? You were walking down the beach and you saw this on the beach?
Yeah, my wife and I, Patrice, were walking on the beach and saw those numbers in shells on the beach.
You didn't do this. Somebody else did this.
Yeah, somebody else did it. We were on a walk preparing for this week,
right,
the rollout of my book.
Yep.
She looked at it and said, why'd someone put their address in the sand?
All right.
And then we stood at it, trying to figure, looked at it, trying to figure out what it was. And she'd long been a server in restaurants. And she said, you know what I think it is?
Yeah.
I think it's a reference to restaurants when you would 86 something in a restaurant.
Right, it's off the menu.
Yeah. I said, no, I remember when I was a kid, you'd say 86 to get out of a place. This place stinks, let's 86 it.
Right. I was a bartender. You would 86 a customer if they were getting drunk. Like, let's 86 them. Let's give them a low proof alcohol or something like that. Yeah.
And so I said, I think it's a clever political message. And she said, you should take a picture of it. I said, sure. And then she said, you should Instagram that. And boom.
The White House says this implies calls for violence against President Trump. He did delete the post later. He apologized. He wrote, I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence.
I don't want any part of any violence. I've never been associated with violence. And so that's why I took it down.
You wake up tomorrow morning.
I hope that I see the obituary that we're all waiting for tomorrow. That's what I hope for.
Yeah. Wishing that President Trump is dead?
Yes, absolutely.
The question of martial law keeps getting raised by the left, that Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth, they want to impose martial law as authoritarians would.
Mm-hmm.
To that you say?
To that I say, look at Los Angeles. They said the exact same thing. Oh, look, 4,000 troops, California National Guard. Oh, look, the Marines. You can't put in the Marines. What? The intentions of this president is to establish law and order using legal and lawful and constitutional means, which he completely has. And you know what? You know why they don't like him? He's got the guts to do it.
In the shadow of the Washington Monument, soldiers preparing, not for war, but for celebration. Tanks on the streets of the capital city. Helicopters outfitted for battle, but merely on display. This is President Trump's long-desired showcase of American might.
We're coming together to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States Army with a grand parade, a military parade.
The greatest, fiercest, and bravest fighting force ever to stride the face of this earth, the United States Army.
The new War Department golden rule is this: do unto your unit as you would have done unto your own child's unit. Would you want him serving with fat or unfit or undertrained troops? It's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look.
In the last 2 months, the Army saw record recruitment numbers. Pete Hegseth says this is a Trump surge.
I don't think it's rocket science, it's the Trump effect. You had some number of young men and women who didn't want to join the Army over the last 4 years under Joe Biden and Christine Wormuth, the former Secretary of the Army, when they thought it was more focused on wokeness and DEI and climate change. That's not why young men and women join our military. They do it because they love the country.
News from the President of the United States that there has been an attack inside Iran.
14 massive bunker-busting bombs were released by the B-2s. 12 hit the underground nuclear site in Fordo, 2 hit Natanz.
Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated.
That place is demolished.
Had we not succeeded with that hit ended the war. That hit ended the war.
We see an end in sight for this regime.
A decision was made that will change the reality of the current war between Israel and Iran, and possibly create a scenario where the Iranians really have no other option than to give in.
How long do you think that the Iranian nuclear program has been put back by these strikes?
Decades, because I don't think they'll ever do it again.
Because the president has hit them so hard with these strikes, and the Israelis are continuing to take out their top military leadership, that the country is in a state of disarray.
Israel will never allow those who call for our annihilation to develop the means to achieve that goal. Tonight, Israel backs those words with action.
آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبارآلود استادیوم.
Moments ago, Israel launched Operation Rising Lion, a targeted military operation to roll back the Iranian threat to Israel's very survival.
Several Iranian military leaders and nuclear scientists believed to be dead.
Israel says it used more than 200 fighter jets to hit over 100 targets across Iran.
Rise and act first. This is exactly what Israel has done today. We have risen like lions to defend ourselves.
We're at the end of an epic week for President Trump. It all started with U.S. strikes that obliterated Iran's nuclear program, followed by a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. Rwanda and the Congo just signed a peace deal at the White House today. NATO members committed to double their contributions. Oil and gas prices are down. The stock market just hit a record high. And to top it all off, today, a massive series of wins for President Trump at the U.S. Supreme Court.
The High Court declared that federal district judges exceeded their authority when issuing nationwide injunctions against Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship. This will, of course, strengthen executive power both for Trump and for his successors.
This is a huge win for him. It does negate what has been a stumbling block. These judges have been throwing sand in the works in many of his policies, from immigration to birthright citizenship to DOGE cuts. That will presumably now be tamped down.
Not only is this a huge win for President Trump and the rule of law, but it was made even sweeter with a striking rebuke of far-left Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Mr. President, you were just coming off of one of the most consequential weeks anybody has ever seen, from striking Iran to going to NATO to announcing two deals and then the Supreme Court victory. Have you been able to digest what has occurred in the last 7 days?
Not really. It was pretty wild period of time. And I really think in 6 months, we've taken the country and turned it around.
I think now that things have settled in, we have President Trump back in office, the economy is recovering, things like that, we'll get back on the right track. And you know, this is a whole other God thing as well. You know, our generation is a generation without God. But the more we come back to that, you know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, that I will hear them from the heavens and I will heal their land. So I believe that's going to come.
We have to bring religion back. We have to bring it back much stronger. It's one of the biggest problems that we've had over the last fairly long period of time. We have to bring it back.
To have a great nation, you have to have religion. I believe that so strongly. There has to be something after we go through all of this. And that something is God.
Do you know how many mass shooters there have been in America over the last 10 years?
Counting or not counting gang violence?
Great. Get down.
Charlie Kirk assassinated. The president breaking the news. The great and even legendary Charlie Kirk is dead. He was shot in the neck in the middle of the quad, sitting underneath a banner that said the American comeback. We know one round was fired and reportedly from 200 yards away, just 50 yards more than Butler from a nearby campus building. Charlie immediately lost a lot of blood after the bullet hit his neck and was rushed to the hospital and then was pronounced dead.
Wow. Right here, Rav, at this moment, guys, let's go around the horn, Gene. Continue on the horrendous news that Charlie Kirk has passed.
Well, my prayers are for Erica, for her children, for his family. This is beyond devastating, Eric.
To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight, all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror.
What I will say with a caveat, he wasn't admired and loved by all. So that's an exaggeration, but the truth is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Sorry, let me finish.
It doesn't matter.
Charlie Kirk is a divisive figure, polarizing, lightning rod, whatever term you want to use. Why?
Well, he's one of MAGA's most prominent voices online. He hosts a near daily podcast. He opines on almost everything. He's been very closely aligned with the president since his initial run for office in 2015, 2016. And his ties to Trump really elevated his own brand. He was really quite young as an activist when the president launched his initial campaign. And he has kind of ridden along with MAGA since 2016 and built up a massive, massive brand of his own. His group has brought in tons and tons of money.
After one of the Doge employees was allegedly attacked in Washington, D.C., that's what Donald Trump used as a justification to send in federal troops into Washington, D.C. to get things under control, the carjacking situation. He used that. And I know it's hard to predict the future, Mark, but you can imagine the administration using this as a justification for something.
I must admit, I'm at a loss to guess as to what happens next.
Political violence, unfortunately, has been ratcheting up in this country, and I think there are people who are fomenting it in this country. I think the president's rhetoric often foments it. We've seen the January 6th rioters who clearly, you know, have tripped a new era of political violence.
We don't know any of the full details of this. That we don't know if this was a supporter shooting their gun off in celebration, or so we have no idea.
The chair would ask that all members present in the chamber and those in the gallery please rise for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk and his family. Let's wait a minute. Wait a minute. The house will be in order. The house will be in order. Shh. The house will be in order.
But following up on what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
People just, you can't stop with these sort of awful thoughts you have and then saying these awful words and not expect awful actions to take place.
Matt.
And that's the unfortunate environment we're in.
This hits differently because Charlie was one of us. And Trump gets hit in the ear. Charlie gets shot dead. They came after Kavanaugh with a rifle to his neighborhood. They went after Musk's cars. They just shot two Jews outside the embassy. Think about it. Scalise got shot, barely survived. It's happening. You got trans shooters. You got riots in LA. They are at war with us. Whether we want to accept it or not, they are at war with us. What are we going to do about it? How much political violence are we going to tolerate? And that's the question we're just going to have to ask ourselves. Now, Charlie would want us to put as much pressure on these people as possible. Dana nailed it. This is unacceptable and has to stop. And it has to stop now. And everybody's accountable. And we're watching what they're saying on television. And who's saying what? The politicians, the media, and all of these rats out there. This can never happen again. It ends now. Greg's right again. This is a turning point, and we know which direction we're going. Mm.
The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. But they should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country.
A Christian revival across the country. Bible sales increasing over 40% since 2022. Religion app downloads surging nearly 80%. That increase since 2019. And Christian music Spotify streams up 50% from 2019.
what we're noticing is a rise in religion in the lives of young people. In an unstable and fractured world, the promise of strength and love and community is a pretty good pitch. And that comes from a New York Post piece. New Yorkers turning to the church, number of Catholic converts soaring.
They come from all different walks of life, but they've all had this encounter with, I think, a love that gives them identity.
Paula White Cain and Jenny Korn are on a mission for the Trump administration.
Without God and without faith, we are a lost people.
When you talk to him, does he take time out to pray?
Absolutely, often. Or even without a briefing or a meeting. For me personally, a 24-year relationship, I'll just feel led to pray. And I'll say, can I pray for you, sir? And he's now grown accustomed to laying hands on him and praying over him and praying the word.
White and Korn say the president has put faith offices throughout the departments of his entire administration.
We love the Christians. We love all religions. And by the way, religion is coming back to the USA. You see that very strongly.
Charlie Kirk brought victories. And with victory after victory after victory, that's when we can re-Christianize this country. What was Charlie Kirk's lesson? That we are a Christian nation that got off the rails. We have to re-Christianize this country. Charlie Kirk is a Christian martyr. And Charlie Kirk is a Christian saint.
Everyone realizes now that the country's different. The battle lines have been drawn. Utah was a spiritual attack. This is about good versus evil. Every God-fearing American should take it upon themselves to get involved, get organized, and do what's right for themselves, for their families, and for the United States of America.
But most important of all, if you aren't a member of a church, I beg you to join one. A Bible-believing church.
Day three of the federal government shutdown. After a key meeting between President Trump and the architect of his plans to shrink the federal government, Russ Vogt. Trump yesterday, writing Vogt, would now recommend which, quote, Democrat agencies to cut, adding, quote, I can't believe the radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity.
This is an unprecedented opportunity they are giving to President Donald J. Trump and the OMB director, Russ Vogt, to cut waste and make irreversible changes to the bloated federal workforce through layoffs. You might want to call it Doge 2.0, if you will. Democrats, that they may have just been led blindly by their far left flank into a trap set by Donald Trump.
What they have done instead is to shut down the government because we won't give billions of dollars to health care funding for illegal aliens. That is what has actually happened.
Now, Chuckie Schumer has stood firmly against government shutdowns for his entire career. What changed? One simple answer. Schumer is scared to death.
Chuck Schumer is just worried about his job.
His fear of AOC beating him in his primary election is absolutely making him run in fear.
The chorus of calls for Schumer to resign continues to grow in and outside of Washington.
My guess is that he won't be leader of the party in 2027.
Now the House Minority Leader may also have to watch his back.
Despite the 15 opportunities they have now had to reopen the government, they have voted 15 times to keep it closed.
The Schumer shutdown boils down to this. They have terrible policies. Those terrible policies caused them to lose elections. After the lost elections, they lose legislative battles. Now they want to relitigate the legislative battles they lost because the American people hate their policies.
Washington leaders have found a pretty unexpected weapon in the 2025 government shutdown: trolling with memes.
We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans bull. Not even black people want to vote for us anymore.
The longest government shutdown in U.S. history has come to an end.
Nobody's ever seen anything like this one. This was a no-brainer. This was an easy extension. But they didn't want to do it the easy way. They had to do it the hard way. And they look very bad, the Democrats do. So with all of that, I just want to tell you the country has never been in better shape. We went through this short-term disaster with the Democrats because they thought it would be good politically. And it's an honor now to sign this incredible bill and get our country working again. Thank you.
It should be great news for everyone. The longest shutdown in American history will soon be over. But Democrats are in mourning.
This was a very, very bad vote.
You can see how tired I am. I've been here all weekend. I've been working throughout the past few weeks to try to prevent this moment. And you are right to be angry.
I think the Democrats caved. I think the Democrats let down the American people.
Democrats got pretty much nothing out of the deal.
In terms of standing up to Donald Trump, the shutdown actually gave him more power. So standing up to Donald Trump didn't work.
Democrats thought they had found momentum after Kami Mandami won in New York, but that's all gone. Trump is in control.
It seems like the president is kind of getting what he wanted. Now here he is winning again. How did he do it?
New York Attorney General Letitia James has been indicted on federal criminal charges. Now, James is one of three people President Trump mentioned in a Truth Social post directing Attorney General Pam Bondi to prosecute them last month. The other two are former FBI Director James Comey and Senator Adam Schiff of California.
James Comey just became the first FBI director to face criminal charges.
But the common denominator is they will manufacture anything to go after their critics, after members of Congress to try to silence them, after John Bolton, after people in the Federal Reserve, after generals, after former presidents. They're investigating Comey and Clapper, the Obamas, the Clintons. Basically, it's free reign with a corrupt leadership at the Justice Department.
Motion is adopted. The end of an era tonight for Democrats and for one of the country's most powerful women in politics ever.
I will not be seeking re-election to Congress.
85-year-old Nancy Pelosi announcing her retirement.
Nancy Pelosi was first elected 8 years before I was even born. You know, I don't think that the founding fathers intended for members of Congress to cling to power for four decades.
So Nancy Pelosi's long march to the left is over, and she's leaving the Democratic Party with Comrade Mamdani as its face.
Looking ahead, Pelosi's retirement may send a signal to other long-serving Democrats to make room for younger leaders.
Mr. President, this is Trump. It is with great pleasure that my wife and I welcome you to Windsor Castle on this, your second state visit to the United Kingdom. This unique and important occasion reflects the enduring bond between our two great nations, anchored by the deep friendship between our people. This relationship, which with good reason we and our predecessors have long called special, has made us safer and stronger through the generations. Mr. President, as we approach the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence next year, it is remarkable to think just how far we have come. I cannot help but wonder what our forebears from 1776 would make of this friendship today. The ocean may still divide us, but in so many other ways, we are now the closest of kin. The bond between our two nations is indeed a remarkable one. Forged in the fire of conflict, it has been fortified through our shared endeavors and burnished by the deep affection between our people. Tested time and again, it has borne the weight of our common purpose and raised our ambition for a better world. So in renewing our bond tonight, we do so with unshakable trust in our friendship and in our shared commitment to independence and liberty. Therefore, as we celebrate this unparalleled partnership, allow me to propose a toast to President Trump and the First Lady, and to the health, prosperity, and happiness of the people of the United States of America.
Thank you very much.
President Trump meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky and a stronghold of European leaders at the White House yesterday. It was historic. Politico reporting that at one point the president stops the conversation with the leaders and Zelensky, walks away for 40 minutes to call Putin.
Now, pause for a moment and think about how historic this really is. On Friday, we were in Alaska. That's less than 3 days ago. President Trump was in Alaska meeting with Vladimir Putin. Putin hadn't met, been on U.S. soil in 10 years. And just 48 hours later, the commander-in-chief did something that no other president would even dream of or even be willing to take a risk on. Take a look at your screen. He got all major NATO leaders to drop everything they were doing, take a weekend transatlantic flight to Washington, D.C. for this huge meeting at the White House with the Ukrainian President Zelensky.
This is a president that is leading not only our country, but on the world stage as well.
Yeah, if you're a leader of the free world, that picture of him sitting behind the Resolute desk and everybody sitting around, gathered around, looking at him is definitely the photo of the century.
I'm the most powerful person in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I have had more people ask me to have a third term, which is in a way a fourth term because the other election, the 2020 election was totally rigged. So it's actually sort of a fourth term in a certain way. I just don't want the credit for the second because Biden was so bad. He did such a bad job. And I think that's one of the reasons that I'm popular, if you want to know the truth. I think I'm popular because we've done a great job.
Well, I think that there's no question this is one of the most consequential presidents in American history.
We've done a lot.
We're now at the end of your first year of this second term. What do you hope to accomplish in the next 3 years?
Well, I hope I can have the same year that we had. Look, we have been acknowledged to have the greatest 9 months. You know, it's 9 months. The greatest 9 months in the history of the presidency. So if I can keep that going, I'll be very happy. It's turned out to be a new passion for me, making our city. I had no idea we could be that successful.
There are so many things that we have done that people haven't actually gotten to reap the benefits of yet, and they will next year. When that happens, I think the economy, it's going to be good stuff.
I do want to talk about the economy, sir, here at home, and I wonder what grade you would give.
A plus.
A plus.
Yeah. A plus, 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 plus.
We are going to pull away from the rest of the planet because of the sheer dynamic of the American economy.
Our country has been turned around much faster than I thought. We have a country that potentially is geared to have the most incredible golden years ever. I say it's the golden age of America. When these factories and plants open up by the thousands, they're coming from Germany, they're coming from Japan, they're coming from Canada. Many factories are coming in because they don't want to pay tariffs. We have an age that's coming up, the likes of which I don't think this country has never seen. 11 months ago, I inherited a mess. Our country was laughed at from all over the world, but they're not laughing anymore. Over the past 11 months, we have brought more positive change to Washington than any administration in American history. There's never been anything like it. And it's not done yet, but boy, are we making progress. Nobody can believe what's going on. And no president has ever had the courage or ability to get this done until now. We're putting America first, and we are making America great again. Very simple. We are making America great again. Tonight, after 11 months, our border is secure. Inflation has stopped. Wages are up. Prices are down. Our nation is strong. America is respected, and our country is back, stronger than ever before. We're poised for an economic boom, the likes of which the world has never seen. When the world looks at us next year, let them see a nation that is loyal to its citizens, faithful to its workers, confident to its identity, certain to its destiny, and the envy of the entire globe. We are respected again like we have never been respected before. In my campaign for president, I pledged to give America the most spectacular birthday party the world has ever seen for America's 250th anniversary on July 4th next year. Already we've had big celebrations to commemorate the 250th birthdays of the Army, the Navy, and the United States Marines, but there is much, much more to come. We're going to have a good time. Then from June 25th to July 10th of next year, we will host the Great American State Fair on the National Mall, featuring pavilions from all 50 states, highlighting breathtaking innovations and celebrating America's exceptional history and culture. Frankly, you'll never see anything like it, and you'll never see anything like it again. And next spring, we will host a major prayer event on the National Mall to rededicate our country as one nation under God. We're not changing that. But all of this is just a beginning. 2026 will be a celebration of America like no other, honoring our nation in all of its glory. We will renew the patriotism, pride, and pioneering spirit of America and lay the groundwork for the next 250 years of independence and freedom. This will be a time like you've never had in your lives. The golden age of America begins right now.